Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And you know, the Lord is holy. You know that. And I don't know about you, but I've told the Lord, you tell the Lord you're sorry for your sin, and you got the Holy Ghost of God inside you. And the Bible tells us not to grieve the Holy Ghost of God. And I've even told the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry for the way I think. The Bible tells us not to quench him, not to grieve him. And he's living inside you. And I even said to him, I said, can you imagine the Holy Ghost is inside every Christian and that's saved, and he's inside you. And can you imagine getting to heaven and walking down the streets of gold, and the Holy Ghost walks by you and slaps you? And says, man, you dirty, rotten dog. I had to live inside you. But he's inside everyone. He's in everybody. And in Luke chapter 3, it says, talking about Jesus Christ, and he was baptized. And you know, Jews were baptized, and we baptize people after they're saved. That's the New Testament. We baptize people after they believed. And it says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that when Jesus was being baptized, and now Jesus didn't need to be baptized, but it was fulfilled scripture. He was to fulfill scripture. And it says, praying to heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came down from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Ghost came down upon him, and in the type of a dove. That's why you always got, in the Bible, you got clean birds, unclean birds. And a dove is a clean bird. And the Holy Ghost is likened to a dove. And when it came down upon Jesus, when Noah sent out the birds, he sent out a raven, and the raven didn't come back, and then he sent out a dove. And the Holy Ghost is a type of dove. And his bodily shape came down onto Jesus Christ. But now take your Bible, look in John chapter 7, and John chapter 7. And here's something you ought to thank God for, that thank God that you're in the New Testament age, and you're not in the Old Testament age. And you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But in John chapter 7, look at verse 37. And it says this. This is an interesting verse. In the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If a man believes on the Lord, it says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit. So you should be able to have, if you got the Holy Ghost inside you and you're filled with the Holy Ghost on a daily basis, you're letting the Holy Ghost have his way in your life, then you should be, there should be a movement in you. It should be something going on. Something going on around you. I mean, it should be something happening. Not all bad should happen to God's people. Every time you turn around, something bad happened to everybody. I mean, it shouldn't be always bad. I mean, Christians go through trials. You go through trials, and that's for sure. We've seen a lot of people go through trials that's trying to live in the Spirit and trying to walk in the Spirit. Yeah, but if you got something bad all the time, all hell breaks loose around you all the time, and you just mad as you know, hell, and then something wrong with you. There's something wrong if you're saved, if you claim to be saved. And you claim to be saved, and there's something, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Then there ought to be something happening in your life that there should be a flowing. I remember, forget one time when B.R. Lincoln was preaching, and B.R. Lincoln got going, and Samson was a little baby, and Samson jumped up and ran down in front of B.R. Lincoln. He was 2 years old and yelled, you know, glory to God. And B.R. Lincoln started crying and shouting, and Dr. Seiler jumped up on his seat and started yelling, Hosanna in the highest, you know, and he started saying, spring up, old well. And what he was talking about, man, the Holy Ghost was in the middle of the service. And we want, when we come in here, the reason why we sing is it's a worship time, a praise time. It's a praise time where you can lift up the Spirit of God in your life. We're not glorifying the Holy Ghost like charismatics do. We're not talking about that. We're talking about lifting up the Lord's name, and it should something stir inside you. It should be something stirring up where you want to sing. You want to praise him. I remember when I first got saved, and even now I drive down the road singing and praising God. I was in Greenville, South Carolina. I ride up the mountains there, and I look at that, and I get looking at the mountains and looking at all that stuff, and man, I get weeping and shouting and praising God, saying, that's my Father made that, my Father. because I lived like hell before I was saved. And I knew what hell was like, not, you know, on this earth, a lot of junk. And, man, I get singing praises to him and shouting, and man, to just have a time. And I like that time. I like it when the Lord gets a hold of him. You know, you forget about everything else, just rejoice in the Lord. And most people are so, in this generation, they're so stuck on themselves, and selfie generation, always stuck on this, and, you know, I'm not happy, I'm bored, and all that kind of stuff. And they're just unhappy as people on the face of the earth. If you look at Christians that are in this generation, you would think, man, I wouldn't want none of that. The way they look, the way they act, I wouldn't want none of that. You're supposed to be a draw. You should be a draw as a Christian. You should be a draw to other people and say, hey, there's something different about you. I mean, why are you so happy? You're going through these trials. I know my sister April going through some trials, and she's a lot of trials, and she's still rejoicing, praising God. I've known people in this church going through trials, and they're still rejoicing, praising God, and they're giving God glory, and the Lord enjoys that. But look on down. Can you imagine? Look what it says. It says, he that believeth on me, verse 38, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit of God. He says, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now here's the people that said, the Holy Ghost was not yet given. You as a church, the Holy Ghost is given to us. And there was another passage where the disciples said, we didn't know there's no such thing as the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Didn't know it. You got Christians walking around, man, their lip hanging down on the ground all the time, and they're not singing praises to God. They're listening to country music, rap, and all that stuff. No wonder they're depressed. Right. They wanting to kill themselves. There was a couple guys out here the other day. Monday night, I pulled up here. A couple guys, I thought it was a drug deal going on. So I pulled up, I took my truck, rode right along close to them and turned away. And then I pulled over here and did some things. They're still there. I figured they'd get the message. And I pulled away, pulled over here. And then I went back over and I got out of my truck, put it in park, got out of my truck, walked over, tapped on the windows. The windows all tinted, and, you know, you couldn't see inside. And two big old boys, they're sitting there. And I said, man, I knew it was a neighbor. And I said, I thought you guys are drug dealing. That's why I come over here. And he goes, well, that's what we're talking about, drugs. He says, I'm ready to kill somebody. He's a man, they're ripping off my mother and doing it. And he's using he's dropping the F-bombs and all this stuff. And man, I've sat there and he's giving me all this filth and stuff. And I'm listening to him. And then Alex comes out of the house. And I called Alex later, said, thanks for backing me up. He came out, and I know he'd come out to see what was going on. And I'm sitting there talking to the guy, and he goes, I said, I know you. He said, yeah, I used to go to church over such and such place. I said, you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Blankety blank, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm blank. Blankety blank, blank, blank. And the other guy, you know, his wife killed herself three doors down. And I'm talking to him. So he's telling me about two of the kids that used to come to church here. They're his relatives. He said, man, so messed up on drugs. Her husband died. The girl, her husband just died. He said, he wants to live by the code of the street. I'm going to give him the code of the street. I'm going to beat him half to death. That's my nephew, but I'm going to beat him. And he's going, you know, goes off and gets mad and cussing and all that stuff. I said, well, let's pray for him. I said, he's come to church. And he told me, Tommy Webster. You know who I'm talking about? You know, how many of y'all know who Tommy? And his sister, Michelle. So I said, let's pray for him. So I prayed with him, and then I noticed his cussing stopped. I mean, instantly. All the stuff that he was saying stopped. And I said, I hope to see you in church, man, both of you. I want to see you come to church. I walk away, and I laugh because he said, God bless you. And they're big old boys. I said, you need to be in church. I know, preacher. I know. But here, you got the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost. That's why you grieve the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us this. Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians. When you grieve him, then you have to get that thing right. You have to confess it. Amen. You don't confess it, you're not right with God. Amen. You grieve that Holy Ghost, man, you're not right with God. You got to confess your sin. And just going, the thing going around where people start saying you don't have to confess your sins anymore and all that crazy stuff, that's crazy. That's flat out crazy. That's what the devil would spread to keep you from getting right. If the devil can't get your soul, next thing to do is get your life, get your happiness, get your joy. And I've had people call me recently, said they had a gun in their hand, thinking about blowing their head off. Just recently. I said, why? Why would you want to sit there with a gun in your hand and think about blowing your head off if you're saved? Man, your life, I mean, what is your life but a vapor appears for? I mean, you only got a little bit of time. You need to do something with it.
Amen.
Serve God with what you got.
Amen.
God's giving you a life. Man, he's giving you life, if you want it, life more abundantly. I mean, I'll tell you what, you know what makes you happy? You find out if you take tracks, start witnessing to people, talking to people about the Lord.
Right.
You start telling people about Jesus Christ, it'll make you step a little higher. I went in Sam's again today, and I said, gave the guy a track, and I said, hey, buddy, you ever seen one of them? He said, no. And the other guy says, and I said, you? He said, yeah, you gave me one the other day. I said, you read it? He said, yeah, but I said, you do what it said? You do what it said. You need to get saved. Now, look here. It says, verse 13 or 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Members of a harlot, hooking up. What? Know ye not that that which is joined unto a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. When a man and woman gets married, they become one. One flesh. So you got girls, they go, and you know, I pray for all these kids down there at Firefly, because you don't know who they're hooking up with this one, hooking up with that one throughout the weekend, sleeping with this one, sleeping with that one, sleeping with that one, and that, you know what they are? That's called a harlot. That's a harlot. And you know, it says, two shall be one flesh, and he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. You sin against your own self when you commit fornication. You say, how do I do that? The Lord sees that. He sees that stuff. You can get venereal disease. You can get all kinds of other stuff. But then you're never happy. You find yourself in sin. You never confess it, never get it right, and never say, Lord, help me not to do that again. God, don't let me do that again. My body belongs to you. My body, my spirit belongs to you. Help me not to do that. Help me not to run out and do that mess. He says, fornication sinned against his own body. What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Now, you got the Holy Spirit. He said, back there, he said, the Holy Ghost wasn't yet given. Now, David, in the Old Testament, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David knew there was a Holy Spirit because God filled him. But the Holy Spirit could be taken, come and go. Once you're saved, the Holy Spirit can't be taken. He's in you permanently. He's sealed in there. And if you sin against him and grieve him, then what happens is you'll bring judgment upon yourself. And if you say, well, I'm going to keep on doing what I want to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'll live my life where I want to live. Yeah, we find out the way you live, the way you're going to end up. God ain't going to let that go unpunished. God's not going to let that go, without check. I mean, you think, you know, if you guys, I don't know how many people we've seen saved here. I'd like to someday get a number if we knew how many people got saved. We've had, I know it's got to be in the hundreds, maybe even the thousands got saved. But how many of them that are saved and they're just living and they're not, and some of them end up dead. They end up dead before their time. Some of them, you think, what in the world? And they think out there in the world, God delivers you from something. Like it reminds me of the children of Israel. Every time they got in the mess, every time that trouble came in their life or they got thirsty or they wanted something to eat, they said, well, I'm going to go back to Egypt. I just want to go back. And that's why most Christians, something happens in your life, you say, I'm just going to go out and get drunk. I'm just going to go get some drugs. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. And you go back to Egypt. For your help. And Egypt ain't going to help you.
Amen.
Egypt destroy you.
Right.
Egypt make a slave out of you.
Amen.
Egypt will do that to you. Egypt never has been good to God's people. Never. Ever.
Amen.
Not even now. Physical Egypt. They hate God. They hate Christians. Egypt never been good. He says, what? Know ye not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you have of God, and you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Didn't say nothing about the soul. You got a body, soul, and spirit. Why? Your soul is separated. Your soul can't be touched with sin. Thank God. But you can, man, you can bring filth upon your spirit. You can have a bad spirit. I know Christians right now, they say, I ain't going to church. Everybody's talking about me. Nobody called me. Nobody cares about me. Shut up.
Amen.
Why don't you call somebody?
Amen.
If you really want help, take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians 3. Again, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God he's in there. You look at 1 Corinthians 3 again. It's simple. This is we're going to get into some deeper stuff about the Holy Ghost. But this is simple stuff here. It says, for other foundations can no man lay that which is laid, Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build, that's verse 12 now. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. You say, what's that, hell? No. It's telling you that your works that you've done since you've been saved is going to be put into a fire. It's a purifying fire. It's going to be put in a fire, and you're going to be standing there watching it. Everything you've ever done in your life since you've been saved. See, before you got saved, God forgave you the past. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. God's forgiven you for the past. But Alan Ryman's got to give account from the day, September 30th, 1974, the day I got saved, to the day I die. That's going to be the time period that God's going to put in the fire to see what I've done for his glory, for him, and see what comes out. And the Bible tells you there's gold, silver, precious stones. You say, what's that for? It's for a crown. For a crown. Then it's wood, hay, and stubble. Things that burn up. And a lot of Christians in my generation and the generations coming up, everything's going to be burned up. Everything's going to be gone. You say, are they saved? Yeah, they're saved. They're going to heaven. But can you imagine? I can't stress it enough. Can you imagine? If I can keep that in my forefront, in my mind, can you imagine? You'll be with Christians that lived in the time of the Romans, and they were in the Colosseums, and they were sacrificed to lions and all kinds of other things, burnt at the stake and everything else, and they loved the Lord Jesus Christ enough to die for him. And you got Christians today that care less about anybody but themselves, and they're stuck on themselves, and all they can do is think about themselves, and they live for themselves. And people that they could reach, dying, going to hell around them, care less. And they say, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's all I care about. I had a guy ask me, he said, you mean if I get saved, I can't lose it? That was a guy last Wednesday night. You mean if I get saved, I can't lose it? I said, you can't lose it once you get saved. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be a fire. It's going to be a fire, a trial fire for what you've done. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. And nobody's going, I don't think this, I've had people say, I'm going to look over and see what they're getting. No, you ain't. You're going to be more concerned about what's happening with you. And that's what you ought to be concerned about. You know, most Christians, they get messed up by looking at everybody else. They get messed up in church. They'll be in church and somebody say something, their kid will do something, or somebody will say something about their kid or whatever, and they'll get messed up and they'll quit serving God because of that. Somebody's talking about me. Who cares? Pray for them. You say, I can count that as persecution. Praise the Lord. That'll go through the fire. Hallelujah. Somebody's talking about me. Somebody run me down. That'll go through the fire. Praise the Lord. Amen. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss.
Man, isn't that terrible? Think about that. Can you imagine us suffering loss up in heaven? And you say, Lord, give me another chance. I'll go back and down. No, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And man, we got to keep that. Nobody's super Christian around here. There's nobody in here that's so super, super duper that they don't have no, they walk on water. No. We all got the same battles. We all got the same thing that we're fighting. We got the flesh. We got the pride. We've got the, you know, all that junk going on in our lives. We got to fight. And, you know, some can fight better than others. And some people have got some weaker spots than other people have got weaker spots. Some people are strong at one point and some people are weak in the other point. So, but that's why the Bible tells us pray one for another. Amen. You know somebody's weak in a spot, pray for them. You don't have to go up there and say, well, let me tell you something. I did that when I first got saved and I got over it quick. What's the matter with you? You don't know. Man, some people just have a harder time with some things. And maybe it's because maybe they don't want to give it up. That's the problem. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Look at here. Know ye not that ye are the temple temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And here's the sticker. It says, any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And I've seen the Lord do that. How many of y'all have ever seen the Lord do that? Somebody think there's something? God catch them. You know, God's holy. And he bought, every one of us is saved in here. He bought us with a price, and a great price. That was his son. He bought you with a great price. And when you say, I'm going to live my life, God says, all right, here's life. I give it back to you. What are you going to do with it? Rather than being like the little boy saying, here's my lunch, Lord, take it. You do something with it. I know you can multiply it. God will take your life and multiply it. Time after time after time after time and time. He'll multiply it. But if you say, I'm going to hold on to this, it's mine. Mine, like the little kids. I see them, you know, they'll fight over something. It's mine, mine. They'll fight over it, and they ain't worth nothing anyway. They're fighting over it. And I'm seeing it over and over again. But it says, him shall God destroy, which temple you are. And I've thought about it. I've preached a lot of funerals. Brother Squiggy's preached a lot of funerals. And I've thought in my mind, when I'm preaching these funerals, I thought, I wonder if this guy went home or this girl went home before their time. I've thought about that. That's something. The Bible says the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Now, David said, take not, look in Psalm 51. David sins with Bathsheba. David committed murder. And Saul, for disobeying God, Saul lost the Spirit of God. But there was a difference with David. David had a heart, the Bible says, David had a heart that after God's heart. David was the kind of guy that he sang praises to God. And there's something about people that sing praises to God. Long as you don't think it's all about you. When you, if you got a good voice, you can sing to the Lord, and you can, well, y'all, I don't care if you have a good voice or not, you ought to be singing to God. But if you can sing to God and just don't get stuck on yourself thinking that you've arrived or you should go on American Idol or something. And I even thought about that, how many Christians probably went on that and sold out. A bunch of them. God's given them a voice, and God's given people an ability to play the piano or sing or play an instrument, and they sell it out, and they go, I'm going to go make money with this. It's like the prodigal son. I'm going to show people what I can do. I'll give God the glory. It's like this. If I hit the lottery, I'll give God something. My foot. He says, verse 11, he says, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, David didn't have it. He didn't have eternal. He wasn't sealed. He didn't have the eternal spirit of God in him for you know, like a New Testament Christian. The Bible says you're the temple of God, and the temple, you know, if God is holy. I'll tell you how holy God is. Take your Bible, look in Deuteronomy. You know, we know all the verses, be holy as I am holy. God even tells the children of Israel, when they're in the middle of the camp, they got to go out of the camp. He says, and when you go use the bathroom, he said, take a paddle with you and dig a hole and put it in there. So when I walk through the midst of you, I'm not going to see that unclean thing. That's how holy it is. Look in Deuteronomy 23. I came across this the other day reading my Bible, and I thought, man, this the Lord walking. You know, you think about this. If you're living for God, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivers them. God's with you. He's with you, but he's inside you. He's there. You want him in your house. You want him in your car. You want him everywhere. He says, Deuteronomy 23, verse 12, he says, thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. And it shall be when thou shalt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shall turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, and that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. He said, if I come through there, I could turn away from you because of that unclean thing. Now that's talking about Israel, and when they're out in the wilderness and they're digging, you know, out there in battle, he's saying, turn it away. That's where the military always gave the guys a shovel, a little paddle to carry on their weapon to do the same thing. That came from there. That came from the Bible. And the Lord said, don't do that. He said, I'm going to walk through the camp. You don't want me to turn away because of an unclean thing. If God says something like that, that's simple. You think that little. That's why the Bible says tells you not, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you. And the Bible tells us that we're sealed to the day of redemption. Take your Bible, look in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. If you're watching something on TV and the Holy Spirit of God says something about turn it off, you better do it. Do we always do? No. And you're looking at something you shouldn't be looking at. The Holy Spirit of God's inside you. He says, get away from it. Throw it away. Better listen. When the Holy Spirit of God's telling you something, you can listen. The Bible says, try the spirits and know whether they're God or not. And usually when something's telling you to do right, that's usually the Holy Ghost. Because the unclean spirits never tell you to do something wrong. I just saw somebody saw a clip where in Pensacola, Florida, just recently, they had a Satan worshiper come in there and pray over the assembly of the city council. And man, the people down there started quoting the Lord's Prayer and quoting Psalms 23 and everything else. And the city council said, just keep it down. Let him do a thing. And this guy was asking Lucifer to come in. Come a long ways, baby. The Bible says, look in Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 22. He says that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. That's the cussing, dirty jokes, calling people names, saying stuff about people, gossiping about people, all those things. He says, put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Holy Spirit, if he's running, you say, Lord, help me not to do anything that's contrary to your spirit. Help me not do anything contrary to your spirit. That ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're going to have to stop and look at the time. He says, Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, sin not. You can be angry about something, but don't sin. Somebody said, well, you made me cuss. No, you didn't. You made me say that. No, nothing. It was unclean spirit. Or your spirit of man. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's talking about husband and wife. You get mad at each other. Don't let it go down. My wife and I have let the sun go down on our wrath. We've gone to bed mad. Yeah, somebody, Doc used to say, yeah, man, don't go to bed mad. Stay up and fight it out. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Why? You give the devil a place there to get his foot in. He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands, and things that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's what the David Ramsey thing is all about, that you might have to help somebody else. Most people always got their hand out. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. They always got their hand out. They never want to help nobody else. They never want to get to that place and say, Lord, I want to help somebody. I want to do something. When I first got saved, it was all about me. Help me, help me, give me, give me. And after I got saved, I started growing a little bit. Then I realized, hey, I want to help somebody else. That's how you know you're maturing, when you want to help somebody else. And boy, when you take money out of your wallet, out of your pocket, and give it to somebody else to help them in need, boy, you're starting to grow. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. I want to say this. The other night, y'all gave to Joyce Garner. You gave her $810. Gave that. Brother Ron, it was $809, and Brother Ron threw another dollar, and they're making $10. So, but $810. But he that which is good, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which is whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, everybody likes to stay bitter, mad. I'm mad because of what happened to me. Bitter, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I've seen where people allow bitterness to take them out of church, take them out of their Bible, go back to drinking, drugging, and they kill themselves. Said, well, some people don't go that far. They haven't gone that far yet. But they stay out of church. They stay out of their Bible and pray and everything else. I'll read, Brother Ken, I was going to, come on, take a prayer request.
Prayer request, not forget it. We'll do it.